Alrighty then. Okay, greetings everyone. Welcome to another Brony Debates Live. I hope you're all having a wonderful weekend. I'm seeing some new names in the chat, so I'm very excited about that. Let's get a good start to the weekend. We are right in time for the kickoff of Generation 5, and the new MLP movie is airing today. So
spoilers.
Well, I haven't seen it. I don't know who else has seen it. The cat in my background hasn't seen it yet, and she won't shut up about it. Say, thank God I can't understand cat because she's just spoiling the whole thing. And yeah, so we got a few people together here tonight. Tonight's topic of do spoilers help or hurt is actually the suggestion of Mr. Silverquill, who's joining us tonight. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm well. I bring the madness.
You bring the madness, and in your claw there, you've got a longtime patron, first time coming on the debate, but been on Friday Night Fights a couple of times, Mr. Archer. How are you doing today, sir?
I am alive, I am well, and I'm running on 2 hours of sleep.
2 hours
Make
of sleep?
That what you will.
Well, shoot, what I take of that is get to bed sooner. Gosh darn. Okay, and we've got our usual blue ponies joining us tonight. Mr. Cordero, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Our usual. You make me sound so boring.
You've got that, I don't even know what to call that hat, but like only boring old people wear that hat.
It's an amazing hat. It's a distinguished hat.
Yeah, we're not having this conversation again. How are you
again,
doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. I bring the rational, the rationale. I don't bring that. I don't know what I bring.
And we've got the other boring blue pony, DJ. How are you doing tonight, DJ?
I'm here, and because of that quip, I'm going to spoil G5. It ends like...
Okay.
Soundboards.
Soundboards.
Yep, we're a little worried about that soundboard before the stream, but I think we'll be okay. I think we'll be okay, guys. So before we really get into the thick of it, Silver, real quick, just tell us what made you want to talk about spoilers tonight.
Well, it was a dark and stormy night. The wind howled. Make sure to tag your images. Make sure to tag your images. Funny enough, it was all the information that was starting to come out about G5. Netflix, in its usual insanity, loves to wait until like 2 weeks. So, and I was also working on talking about the G5 designs. And I thought of how unfair it was that the very first introduction was that bedsheet that appeared on a website from, I think it was South America. And that was our introduction to the designs, but it was not a very good introduction. And I thought about, we were introduced to several of the characters, but people are winging off. Made me think about spoilers. And I did a little research, you know, why do spoilers hurt? And some of the answers I received were very surprising. So I thought, hey, this is worth talking about. So I shot the idea on over to Bronny, and he invited me on here. And the rest, as they say, is history.
All righty then. So, yeah, now, real quick, let's just give a quick shout-out to my very generous supporters on Patreon who make the bills easier to pay and the content easier to produce, especially those on the $10 and up tier, two of which are in this call with us. Those being Mr. Cordero and DJ Skywalker. There's also Princess Heather Blossom, Shady Oak Ministries, Sid McConroy, Auto Knight, Emerald Spencer, Sodden Girder, Cinco, Kyle Christensen, Stephen A. Wilson, Rain Coon, Morningstar, Q Flash, Billy Henline, Alden McManx, and Dark Malcontent, author of the Metaverse series. Please check out all their content in the description. They make some pretty cool stuff. Cordero's working on a really good Sunset Shimmer fan fiction right now, if you're at all interested in that. So...
Uh-huh.
I'm seeing a lot of new names out in the stream. I'm guessing you guys are, you know, if it's your first time watching Brony Debates Live, let me just give you the breakdown. We're going to talk about the topic for half hour to 45 minutes here and just throw ideas back and forth, with each other. But I encourage you to participate in the chat as much as you want. We're going to be watching the chat stream and taking down any interesting comments or interesting questions that we see. And towards the last 15 minutes of the stream, we'll get to them then. So we definitely want to hear from you out in the chat while we talk. So the ultimate question tonight, do spoilers hurt or help? So spoilers have been an issue in the Brony fandom. Well, they've always been an issue in the entertainment industry as a whole, but in the Brony fandom in particular, they've been an issue since about 2013. And since, like, going into Season 3 and onward, we've had leaks of plot points, we've had leaks of show direction, we've had leaks of scripts, we've had leaks of whole episodes. At least one major leak every single season since 2013. And well, you know, when these things leak, there's usually someone talking about, is it a legitimate leak? What does this imply? But nobody really has talked about the effect that it's had on our perception and enjoyment of the show. So, Silver, since this is your topic, why don't you start it off by answering this question? What have you observed when it comes to spoilers affecting the Brony fandom in your time with us?
Well, I'll start off by saying that I at no time do I want to encourage people to go out of their way to spoil a story or an upcoming episode for another. It's inconsiderate. That's basic etiquette. However, once spoiled, I don't think it's as bad as you might envision. Let's look at, well, probably for me, the biggest spoiler of the Brony fandom was the first time Alicorn Twilight appeared on social media. It was a photo of a publicity event in England, I believe. And everyone, it was before Season 3 aired. So everyone was like, was this a mistake? Did someone do this? And then the question is, oh, wow, what if Twilight becomes an Alicorn this season? And yes, we had weeks and weeks of debates followed by months and months of arguments after the episode. But I believe that galvanized the fandom into having an opinion and really wrestling with what this means. And I think that actually opened the door for more thought and discussion before having to do a reactive talk about the events.
And does that's pretty interesting. And I don't really have anything to rebuke that myself. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to add or take away from what Silver said? No, the crickets. Okay, go for it. Sorry.
I mean, it makes sense. I get why people get uppity about spoilers, but I think my main thesis or idea tonight is that spoilers just don't matter. Like they're actually not as big a deal as people think, and they have way less of an impact than we give them credit for. I think, and obviously we'll get into that, but I think that's my starting point tonight.
Okay, so go ahead and expand on it a little bit.
Okay, so people are always freaked out about spoilers, and I really think that spoilers only matter when you're really young. If you've been around long enough to see a lot of media, and you've seen a lot of stories be told, because when you're a kid, and maybe you watch Frozen for the first time, you've never seen the twist villain trope, and when Hans goes evil, spoilers, it blows your mind. Maybe you've never seen a bunch of fairy tales. So when you watch Cinderella for the first time, you're really heartbroken when Freud says what, when Cinderella, you know, runs away from the ball and turns back into a pumpkin or whatever. So like, if you've never seen these stories told before, or you're experiencing something for the first time, yeah, it'll make an impact, rather or not you know what the ending is. But most people who are adults have seen most basic stories be told before. We've seen twist. We've seen how characters end up. And I really think that whether or not a story is good or not, is going to be in the execution. It's going to be how they told the story, how well those characters relate to you, and where you are in your life, and what kind of stories you want to experience at this point in your life. Because you know, at different points in your life, you may have liked other media better than other stuff, and now you like different stuff than you used to like. Happens all the time. So I think just knowing what's going to happen, or just knowing literally the point by point plots of a movie, of an upcoming movie, really are ultimately not going to make that much of a difference. Like, if we had gotten a point for point plot summary of The Last Jedi in 2017 before the release, I don't think that would have made people love or hate The Last Jedi any more than they already loved and hated, mostly hated it. I really think we put too much emphasis on spoilers, especially when most stories you've already seen told, and you're really just going to like what you're going to like if they execute on it well. And I did bring up, I put in our chat, the audience can't see it, but I put the screenshot back in 2013 when Equestria Girls was leaked. It was literally leaked. And we got this screenshot of the six girls in the middle of a high school, and it looks like a bad cell frame image where they layered it wrong, and it looks like the girls are like floating in front of the school. It's the artwork looks really flat, and we're just like, what is this garbage? This is going to suck. What are they doing? And then I also put a picture of the original toy line in 2013 of Equestria Girls, and it looks like knockoff McDonald's Bratz dolls. It looks terrible. Like the toys, it looks like a toy line is going to suck, and it looks like whatever this cash grab spinoff is going to be is going to be hilariously bad. And Equestria Girls turned out to be super popular amongst the fandom, not with everybody, but it actually turned out to be a big deal that a lot of people really loved. And I think whether or not we got these original leaks or not, or these early pictures or not, I don't think that had an impact on the show's popularity. I think people liked the way the characters were portrayed. It felt like the girls from the show were just girls in high school. It had the same style as the show. We liked it for a lot of the same reasons. And it also brought its own personality to the table. And Sunset Shimmer's redemption was famously loved by fans all over. Like, even critics of Equestria Girls, you know, liked how Sunset Shimmer was handled. And that's what made an impact, was how it was executed. And people probably forget these screenshots that I'm bringing up right now. People probably mostly forgot about these, because ultimately when we got the media, it just didn't matter anymore once you got the actual product. It's an illusion that spoilers matter, like whether you have them or not. You've seen the movie before, and you're going to like it or hate it regardless.
Alrighty then. So does anybody want to say anything to what Cordero was talking about?
I do... Because he invoked Star Wars, I have a question for everyone.
Oh, no.
Do you remember the first time you learned who's the father?
I was going to bring this up. I was absolutely going to bring this up. I was probably like, I don't know, 7, 8.
Yeah,
December 2014, I was watching the entire series with my younger brother on the family DVD player.
Huh.
So here's a follow-up question. Here's a follow-up to that question, Silver. Is it even possible to have that moment anymore? Because I feel like that moment in film history is so famous that it's encoded into everybody's genetic memories at this point. People just come out of the womb knowing that Vader is Luke Skywalker's father and knowing the line. Okay. Because it's just so ingrained into the culture now.
I have an interesting answer.
Can I just jump in here?
Yes. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Anyone who knows a little bit of German understands what Vader translates into. It was leaked as soon as Twain heard his name.
Father. Darth Father.
It didn't. We didn't
mein
know.
Vater. Vader. No, mein Vater. Vater is not Vader. That's a different word.
Is it? No, because that's what I thought the speech translated as.
Back when I still had a lot of hair, I went to the barber and asked him to give me a fader.
Yeah, Vater. It's spelled V-A-T-E-R in German, because V's are pronounced with F's, so it's Vater. Vader is just a character, like Vader is not literally fodder. It sounds kind of similar when you hear somebody say in a joke, "Ah, mein Vater." It's like, "Mein Vater," like, oh, that's kind of like a weird way of saying Vader, but no, that's literally a different word.
Although now I really want a Darth Lederhosen.
Angel of Speed in the chat says Vader is Dutch.
Oh.
I'm looking it up right now. Oh, it is Dutch. It is Dutch. Because I just Googled, but I was correct on German. Vater is German, but apparently Vader is Dutch, which, you know, same region, different dialect. So it's specifically the Dutch dialect. So yeah, I guess the Dutch were spoiled.
All right. So we talked about that now. So but what point were you getting to about that? Was Silver's point about when Vader. Yeah, the first time you learned about Darth Vader. So go ahead with that, Silver.
Well, in truth, I'm impressed that some of you remember that moment, because it's as Bronnie said, I knew before I saw that scene. I'm reminded of like Freakazoid, where they parody that with Mark Hamill being the actual guest actor. It was so ingrained in our culture, so filled with humor. I never got to experience it firsthand because I wasn't alive then.
Am I the oldest? Am I the oldest one here?
I don't think so.
I'm usually an old fogey.
I'm only 20.
When I was a kid, I grew up in the 90s. I'm just going to say that. When I was a kid, it was possible to have that experience because Star Wars was big, but it wasn't what it is, the cultural dynamo it is today, but it was pretty big. It was possible, especially as a kid, to have that, oh my God, moment in the movie. But here's an interesting thing about that. I remember that scene having a huge emotional impact when it happened, but I couldn't tell you if I knew going into the movie that was going to happen. I can't remember for the life of me if it was spoiled or not, but I do remember the moment. And that speaks to my point of the spoiler doesn't matter. If it's a well-executed movie or well-executed scene, it's going to hit you regardless if you got spoiled or not.
Mm. So when I was a kid, I actually liked Star Wars a bit. And I do remember being sat down in front of the electronic babysitter and just had the movie, had those movies put on for me. My family, like every other family in America, had the original trilogy box set. On VHS. So we're watching that. I'm watching that, and I remember thinking for the rest of that movie and the rest of the next movie that they were lying. Vader was just trying to convince, you know, just lying to Luke to emotionally manipulate him into getting him onto his side. And I was like, so even, I remember asking people that wasn't real, was it? Like, did they actually confirm that? Vader is Luke's father somehow. Like, how do they know? How do they find, right? So,
the next movie.
Yeah. So for me, I mean, no, I wasn't there in 1982 in the theaters to see it, but
that's what people were speculating between movies, between 81 and 83, I want to say, right, is the gap.
Yeah.
Well, even James Earl Jones himself didn't believe it as he said it.
The thing about that is that was until the movie actually got released in the theaters, that was the most well-kept secret in Hollywood to that date.
Yes.
Because on set, all of the actors were instructed to say, no, Obi-Wan killed your father. And then,
Luke had the same reaction.
Right. So it was a surprise to even the actors, which is extremely difficult to pull off these days, because everything just gets out there so much. And that you know, something that'll lead to a point I'm going to make later about how industry today tries to prevent spoilers. So yeah. But my point that I'm trying to make to Silver is that it's not I am probably one of the rare people that didn't really have that moment ingrained into me. I experienced it genuinely. I experienced it genuinely firsthand.
Yeah. I can't remember if I did or not, but I think Homer Simpson spoiled Star Wars for me, because I also watched The Simpsons as a kid. And I, like I said, I can't tell you for sure, because these are based on my memories of being really young. But I think that I watched the Simpsons episode where Homer spoiled the ending of The Empire Strikes Back to a line of people waiting to see the movie in 1981, because they had a flashback scene of Homer and Marge seeing The Empire Strikes Back in 1981, and Homer's walking out of a movie into a crowd of people waiting to get in. He goes, "Wow, I can't believe Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father," and the whole line goes, "Oh, come on!" And I think that might have spoiled. I might have seen that episode before I saw The Empire Strikes Back as a kid, so I might have literally been spoiled to Star Wars by Homer Simpson. But I'm not sure if which one I saw first. Mm-hmm. Either way, the scene was emotionable. You know what? That's the word. It was very emotional for me, and that makes my point stand. It didn't matter if I got spoiled or not. The scene was good.
So, Silver, go on with the point you've tried now three times to make.
Well, that was a part of it, that knowing this, going in, Empire Strikes Back still remains my favorite, not because, I'll never get to experience that firsthand shock. It's how pivotal, how it all ties together, how Luke throughout the movie is ideal for he's trying to idealize his father, and then this shocker comes up. So it's a very well-done piece.
Mm. So let me ask this question of everyone then. When you had a spoiler moment in Brony, did it affect how you went into that particular episode? And for this one, I'd like to hear from Archer first.
Kind of have to go with somebody else. I didn't really start watching the entire series till basically right after the series was done.
Okay, so you sort of already knew everything, all the major twists that would have been before. Is that correct?
Wing Twilight.
I mean, I didn't have access to Netflix.
Okay. All right. Archer, I still want to hear from you. So let me ask you a different question, and then I'll ask that question to somebody else. So Archer, have you ever had an experience where let's broaden the scope, where learning something about the plot of something you're reading, playing, watching, anything, you got it spoiled for you, and it affected how you digested the rest of the piece leading up to the moment that got spoiled? Has that ever happened to you?
I can't say it actually has.
Okay, so what are your opinions on the effect of spoilers in general?
More of a gray area on this. If it's something that's over a decade old and you're only just getting into it and you get spoiled, I believe, well, it's been a decade. You've had plenty of time.
Mm.
You're gonna get the spoilers whether you want it or not.
So
if it's something closer to now and you get spoiled, then it's kind of a jerk move.
Okay. So how about this? Have you seen Avengers Endgame?
No.
Okay. Well, shoot, that blows the wheel right off of the next point that I was going to make. So I might have to spoil it.
You should spoil it for
it.
Go ahead. I'm never going to go see it.
Okay, so if he's never going to go see it, then cool. I don't care anymore. I think the modern day equivalent of Luke, I am your father, is Captain America picking up Mjolnir. Am I wrong?
No. A right movie, wrong moment. It's the snap. The snap in Infinity War is the equivalent.
You think so?
Yeah, that's the moment that everyone was like, half of everyone died. Half of the world and the series died. That's the spoiler. Captain America picking up Mjolnir was kind of like a flavor on top.
Age of Ultron.
Because I'm talking about Endgame, not Infinity War.
It's the same movie. It's the first half of the same movie, basically.
Okay, sure. So,
but that, that's definitely. I guess if you're focusing specifically on Endgame, that would be like saying the spoiler of Return of the Jedi is the Ewoks helped win the battle. That's the equivalent of Captain America picking up Mjolnir is the Ewoks could kill an AT Walker.
Okay. So do you think, so how about this, Silver, do you think either of those scenes would have been as effective to you if you had known about them going into the theater?
No, I don't think so. Although I come at this from a very weird angle.
Tell me.
When at the my first viewing of Endgame, by bad luck, I was next to someone who had a verbal tic. They made lots of grunting sounds, and I don't think it was something they could control.
Mm.
Therefore, it was pretty hard to get emotionally invested, period, as I had a pretty sizable distraction next to me.
Oh, geez.
So, but that was a great scene, but let's note that it built on Age of Ultron. And in some ways, capped off a certain character's legacy. However, I will also say that the actor for Spider-Man dropped a pretty major spoiler for this movie on the Late Show, or maybe Jimmy Kimmel. He mentioned this before the movie came out. He blurted it, and everyone in the audience groaned and booed, and he was so mortified.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. An emotional resonance requires investment.
Correct.
And whether or not a spoiler disinvests you is going to vary person to person. A friend of mine said he saw the Let It Go section from Frozen and figured that was the best part of the movie. I mean, we all remember there's a reason it became a meme.
It's mm-hmm. a good part of the movie.
It is, and arguably the best. Yeah. So that disinterested him from the rest of the movie because he figured nothing else is going to compare. And so, therefore, that's how a spoiler might, but that's a reaction one person might have. Another person might watch that section and say, hey, what got her to this point? And then we can learn about, well, her parents got Disney'd.
So my thing with spoilers is I definitely try to avoid knowing anything about a piece of going into it ahead of time. I don't want to know anything about it because that is how I absorb everything about it in its purest fashion. And when I have aspects of it spoiled to me, beyond general premise, and oh, I want to see where this goes, I want to see how this affects, you know, there or what twists they put in the story, if any. Or so if I have any of that spoiled to me ahead of time, then I start developing preconceived notions about things, and it definitely sours the overall experience for me. And I think that most people have a similar sort of mindset. I don't know if the present company is included in that, but I think I share that with most people. And from what I've observed, just talking to people, yeah, if they know, people will avoid, let's say, watching a show if they know certain characters are going to be in it, or if they know certain actors are going to be in it, or if they know it's going to go in a certain way. And they have a coin toss of a chance of being right or wrong, and maybe they're missing out on something they could have gotten a genuine enjoyment out of it, or learned something that could have helped break down any of those potential prejudices, you know. But they rob themselves of that chance. And I will fully admit that I'm a pretty judgmental person, and there's a lot of things that if I see it, and it could be a plot point, it could be a characterization, it could be a lot of different things where I'm going to go, oh gosh darn it, this is going to suck now. And then when I go into it, I'm just, instead of sitting there and enjoying it and absorbing what it's supposed to be and trying to connect with the people that made it on that artistic level, I'm just, part of me, you know, in varying percentages of me, I should say, depending on the pieces, going, okay, when's this going to start sucking? and I don't like that feeling. So I want to know as little about things as possible, and then I can give it an unbiased perspective going in, where now, you know, then whereas if I'm spoiled now, I have to constantly second guess myself because I know that I have my own preconceived notions and prejudices. So does it actually suck from something that I would determine as objective from a storytelling aspect or a characterization aspect, or am I just being a prude? And Cordero knows me very well and has heard me rant about certain things, and he knows darn well there's a coin toss of a chance that it either does actually suck or I'm just being a prude.
I think that you think yourself out of enjoying movies, and can we clip that rant and then just put up and be like, this is why Bronny hates everything, and just play that rant about how, but if I know what's going to happen, and just do like the math meme of in front of the woman's face, but if I know what's going to happen, then I have preconceived notions, and then I'm thinking about, but if that's different than my expectations, this is why you hate everything, is you think your way out of like of enjoying anything. So to piggyback off of Silverquill, who said that context matters, this is why spoilers don't matter, is because suspension of disbelief exists and context matters. It doesn't matter if you have read the script of a movie and know everything that's going to happen. The context of how they pull that movie off and the execution, like I've said before, that's what's going to make you emotionally invested. It's not the actual plot points. Which is why I don't remember if I was spoiled about Luke Skywalker's father, because they made me care about Luke Skywalker. They made me afraid of Darth Vader. They made me invested in Luke Skywalker's journey. So when Darth Vader is like, well, your whole world's upside down because I am your frickin' father that you're trying to avenge, and everything you've done has been worthless up to this point, not to mention I just handed your ass to you, and the last two movies have told the audience that you're awesome. So this is the lowest point for you and the audience. It didn't matter if I knew Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father. That moment was earned regardless. And I really think that the idea of, oh, well, I know spoilers, so now I'm going to enjoy the movie less, I really think that that's an immature response, and not like immature as in rolling around in the grocery store demanding candy, but immature as in it's as if you haven't seen movies before. Like, everybody has seen a character turn evil before. Everyone has seen a twist ending before. Everybody has seen a trusted character become an untrusted character, or an untrusted character become a good guy at the very end. We've all seen these twists and turns before. So just knowing that that's going to happen shouldn't have that much of an impact on the movie, whether you know going in or not, because the way that they set that up, the way that they earn that emotional payoff, is going to determine whether it actually pays off or not. Not the fact that you knew it or not, because you've seen it before. That should only have a massive impact on someone's enjoyment of the story if you've never seen that story told before. But everybody has seen most of the basic movie tropes before, so getting spoiled on a basic movie trope shouldn't affect the execution for you. And I really think that people's movie experience, the way we experience movies and our memories in our mind, is not linear. We think it's linear, like, oh, I know the ending before I saw the movie, so it's ruined. You don't experience the movie in your mind linearly. You remember you go back and you remember the most emotional moments, and rather the most emotional moments are emotional.